thank everyone for joining us today, especially our Main Street Inner Circle members. If you're by a computer and you want to submit a question, then go to our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/MainStreetROI. We'll be monitoring the comments. At the top, you'll see an image that says how to create profitable joint ventures, and we'll be answering any questions you submit at the end of this interview. I've got Kim DeYoung on the line, and she's going to talk about how to create profitable joint venture relationships. Kim is a serial entrepreneur. She's founded two companies, MetroMom.com and Get It Done University, where she's helped thousands of entrepreneurs get unstuck and get results. Recently, Kim partnered with Glazer Kennedy Insider Circle, and she helped coordinate two multi-million-dollar product launches. Not only did Kim manage the entire project, but she also put together the most valuable asset of any product launch, the joint venture partnerships, which is exactly what we're going to talk about today. So, Kim, thanks for joining us today, and could you please give us a brief background about you and your business?
Sure. Thanks, Phil. I guess I've been an entrepreneur now. It's going on 15 years, and have pretty much been in the women's space for all of that time, starting out originally serving the mom entrepreneur with my company, Metro Mom, providing resources for them around growing their business, knowing that they were busy as moms, but also wanting to have a business. And interestingly, segued about 3 or 4 years ago, mainly because people were observing how it was that I was growing my business and kept coming to me when they'd seen Metro Mom and seen all that I had done to grow that business, which, you know, I had experimented probably with every lead generation opportunity that there is and really did a lot with that business and that site. And people kept saying, how do you get it done, Kim? And found that I started to say, how is it that I get it done? And began to observe myself. And, sometimes that experience where you sort of want to sit on your shoulder and watch how it is that you do what you can do so that you can ultimately teach others. And that was really kind of the formation of how Get It Done You came to be. It was the realization that so many people, and entrepreneurs specifically, have tons of ideas, certainly never the shortage of ideas. But the challenge, and I was seeing this with people that I was coaching, people that I was in mastermind groups with, just people that were colleagues, they had so many ideas, yet they weren't getting them into the marketplace. And I saw that frustration that they felt on so many levels, not being able to serve the customer that they wanted, not being able to make the income that they wanted, not being able to make the difference that they wanted, and how that really kind of was this yucky spiral. And ultimately began, I developed my key information product, which is called Ready, Set, Results, which is kind of my key Get It Done system, and began really implementing true, information marketing principles, selling products, running programs, all sorts of things with the goal of supporting that person. And in the scheme of what we're talking about with regard to joint ventures, one of the things that was an interesting opportunity for me at the time with Get It Done You was that I had been in the women's space for so long, but the truth was the concept of anybody who needs to get their ideas into the marketplace is not just female-related. It was a real opportunity for me to partner with many people to help get that word out about what I was doing, because I was almost like a triangular situation. It's like for any coach who was running a business and had really high-level clients, I was that perfect person to come in and collaborate with them, because I offered something very supportive to what the coach was doing, but very complementary. So many coaches, and I know I experienced this as a client, on that side, I would have a coach, or I would see people having a coach. They sign up for this big coaching program to do all this stuff, and then they don't necessarily get the results done because the coach isn't necessarily Get It Done focused. They have other great skills. And often what I was seeing happening was that clients were disillusioned. They, of course, weren't giving the coach the testimonial that they wanted. The coach wasn't serving the client that they wanted, and there was a lot of frustration. And there was a real opportunity for me to come in as that joint venture partner and say, wait a minute, I can really offer something of great value to both of you. If I can help your client get done those things that they want, they're going to feel that much more satisfied. They're going to think, you know, that you're that much greater in what you do. I'm offering a skill, an asset, something that, you know, is missing in this puzzle. And, that's really is at the basis of a lot of what joint ventures are about. It's like, how can you bring something that you have into the mix? So that was really what was going on with Get It Done You, and still am working on that business. But specifically on the JV front, I've spent the past year and a half with Glazer Kennedy, and specifically working with them to grow their business, utilizing joint ventures and affiliate relationships, and have the really incredible experience of getting to fully run and manage two multi-million dollar launches, which is just an incredible experience to have had and to have learned all that I did. I mean, it was really just an outstanding education that I got in this period, and got to really learn the subtleties of what goes on in the relationship, either on the affiliate side, the JV side, but regardless, what we're talking about is partnerships and supporting, you know, utilizing the support of other people to help you to grow your business and vice versa, and really just learn some very, important lessons, important secrets that, I look forward to sharing with you.
Okay, great. So I guess to kind of kick things off here, let's just make sure everyone's on the same page. Could you just define joint ventures and explain why they're so powerful?
Yeah. Essentially, the simplicity of a joint venture is it's really all about leverage. You are looking to bring somebody else in to support you to help you reach a larger audience than you can in whatever form, and whether that's to make more money, get your content out there, whatever that may be. Essentially, the premise of why the JV is so powerful is really that it has to do with leverage. And, there are versions of joint ventures. There are affiliate joint ventures. I'll actually clarify my definition, and this is how I've seen the industry. The affiliate relationship, which many are familiar with, is the premise that you as the business owner want to promote somebody else's product. So you have, your business, you realize that the people on your list could benefit from a particular product that you don't have, and you know so-and-so in the marketplace has it, and you decide that you would like to sell their product to your list, and for that, you will receive a commission. That's an affiliate commission. Now, you have not engaged in any greater relationship with that person necessarily, other than to say, you've got a great product, my list would need it, I'll share it with them, you pay me a percentage. Versus, one of the ways that I look at the joint venture relationship is a little bit different. I look at the JV relationship as a bit more collaborative and a bit more strategic, often where two businesses are coming together knowing that together they can either create something new or that they're both bringing something into the mix, versus the affiliate relationship, really just one person's bringing something into the mix. I think that there's flexibility in that definition, but as I've kind of worked kind of at all different levels, that's really one of the ways that I see it. And I think business owners really have the opportunity to do both. There may be times it's appropriate to be in an affiliate relationship with someone where, again, they have a product or service that you know your list would benefit from, and there may be other times when a business owner would benefit from truly collaborating, creating something new, doing something that brings together both of their strengths to kind of offer something new out into the marketplace.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. And to elaborate, could you give a couple examples, maybe touching on your experience with Glazer Kennedy in terms of both the affiliate relationships and forming JVs?
Yeah. I'll tell you one that's probably one of my favorite examples. And this was, I was at a Glazer Kennedy event probably 2 years ago, and there was a great guy speaking about his business. Essentially, what he did is he was going, I'll tell you who he is, his name is Darren Spindler, brilliant guy, and he has a business called Kids Bowl Free. And essentially what Darren does is he is supporting bowling alleys to bring in business during the summer months by offering free bowling to kids. And how does he offer this to kids? He offers it to the moms. And the way that he offers it to the moms is that they get a weekly email that they have to open to download their coupons to then go into the bowling alley. So it's kind of this win-win situation. The bowling alleys are now getting traffic. You know, the customer, of course, is thrilled. You know, they're getting an activity for their child. But what I couldn't help think about as I listened to Darren sharing what he was doing, and he's really doing this to support many, many, many bowling alleys. I thought, okay, and this is probably because I was in the women's space, I said, Darren, let me question you. You've got all these moms on your list who are opening your emails. They have to open your email, so they haven't given you a bogus email. And what are you doing with those? What are you doing with that list of moms? How are you monetizing it in other ways? And he, you know, he had some ideas. I said, I have so many connections for you for people that could benefit from that list of moms. And we thought logically. Now, realistically, the mom who is coming in to get free bowling for her kids isn't necessarily the target for me, for example, for my Metro Mom business services or things that might be in the $100 and, you know, hundreds of dollars and up. This is somebody who's coming through a freebie. But I happen to have had three connections, very different businesses, one of which was a woman who creates very inexpensive recipes so that she brings dinner home to the American family. So she's got memberships, you know, in the $7 to $20 range. Again, very reasonable, very much appropriate for that target market that Darren had. And another connection for him was somebody who, again, had a mom community that offered really great partnerships, whether it was deals through Visa, different kinds of shopping programs, again, the thing that that woman would benefit from. And there was a third relationship where I connected him to someone who had a fitness program specifically for moms. So where my head went in all of this was, and in this example, I was almost acting like a JV broker. So it was me saying, okay, here's Darren. I see his list. I see all the benefit of who this list is and what they could benefit from and what's complementary that that woman would want. We weren't, again, important note is that she was coming in on something free. So I certainly would never have suggested to Darren that he partner with someone who's offering multi-hundred dollar coaching programs. But in the realm of the ideas that I came to him with, it was inexpensive recipes, inexpensive exercise programs, mom-related, you know, saving tools, whatever, and was able to make that introduction so that now both of them were getting something. So they created they created between themselves an affiliate relationship, and I was able to be brought in as almost what's called in the industry a second-tier affiliate, so really just getting a percentage because of putting that deal together. Now, what I did is something that anybody could do. I mean, from the perspective of seeing an opportunity out there where you want to be a connector. I know for many, many years professionally, I was always connecting people. I mean, it's just kind of what I do. I mean, if I knew that you needed something and I knew that person, I would make the introduction. In years gone by, I was never a part of that deal financially, and then I started to think, that's silly. You know, there's got to be a way for that. And what was so interesting in this particular experience with Darren and these three other businesses, everybody was so incredibly receptive to including me in the deal because, as they all said, Kim, we never would have known about each other. We didn't think to put these pieces together as you did. Thank you. You know, and it really was win-win all the way around. So that's one just really good example that I think everybody has the ability to think not, you know, where can you be the connector of other people as a financial opportunity? Where can you bring two businesses together that might benefit from each other? One example that I'll share with you, and again, we can, you know, this is not me having touched it, but it's me having observed it. The truth is, and I don't know how many people really know this, you know, Bill Gates got Microsoft started with a JV. You know, he basically knew of a software company, and he knew IBM needed software. So he was really the connector. I mean, essentially, he licensed the software and then sold it to IBM. And it's just kind of fascinating that that's really how his company grew, and that's the essence of it. And I don't think a lot of people know the truth of that story. There's another fascinating thing. I was reading an article recently about a guy, and this is also something that we can all apply to our businesses. He chose to fly first class all the time. That was his business decision because he made the choice that in flying first class, he was going to connect with people who were doing business in a particular way. And it turns out that he ended up getting some deal with Delta because he had sat with the CEO of Delta. You know, it was just one of those strange situations. But, you know, again, it's realizing, it's almost like, where do you hang out? Where are you spending your time? You know, are you someone in business who is, you know, again, hanging out with the people that you want to be doing business with. I mean, it's just sort of one of those basic premises of, you know, you are the sum of the people that you spend your time with. I mean, that really goes to, it's the same kind of concept when it comes to joint ventures as well.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. You mentioned JV brokers. Now, do you recommend a business owner go out and try to find JV brokers, or rather, you know, start just thinking creatively, who could I partner with?
You know, I think probably it's easiest for the business owner to think, who can I partner with? I think the average business owner, that's really probably the best space for them to get into it. And I think it really begins of every business owner needs to give thought to, you know, what is it that I need in my business? You know, it's two things. It's what do I need, and then what are my assets? What can I give? And so you're kind of thinking about both sides of the equation. And you know, I'm a very big believer in abundance and in giving and in being of service and those key messages. And I think when joint venture relationships are started from that space of, you know, how can I be of service? What assets do I have that would be beneficial to someone? Which was truthfully how I came up with the idea of approaching these high-level platinum coaches about offering my get-it-done services, because I gave thought, like, who would really benefit from what it is that I have to offer? This is my asset. I can help business owners get things into the marketplace. Well, who is struggling with having that? And I knew that many coaches' clients were struggling with getting their ideas into the marketplace. So it was that natural, you know, let me approach them. So I think for any business owner, it's really important to get to the bottom of those two key things. You know, again, what do I need and what do I have to give?
Yeah, and I guess I would add to that, what else do your customers need? And when thinking about that, that might lead you to some other businesses that you could partner with that may be able to provide you with additional services that you can't provide right now.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, here's another great example. While working at Glaser Kennedy, for those who may not know, Glaser Kennedy is kind of one of the most prominent resources for the small business owner looking for sales and marketing tools to grow their business. So the clientele and the customer base, the prospect list of Glaser Kennedy are all small business owners who are looking for tools to grow their business. Well, one of Glaser Kennedy's most perfect strategic partners is a content management CRM system called Infusionsoft. And Infusionsoft is the technological side that offers the back end to what that entrepreneur needs. So the entrepreneur is saying, hey, I need to market, I need to have sales, but what's my system that's going to allow me to do that? Infusion provides the technology. So one of the relationships that I worked very deeply in was the link between Glaser Kennedy and Infusionsoft. And what I was able to do was to learn how, for example, both businesses have a 60-day kind of introductory prospect period. So people come in, they get the free report, and, you know, they're kind of taken by the hand through each of those companies. And each company had made a decision on their own that they didn't want to do too much selling in that 60-day period. That was an education, get-to-know-you period for the prospect coming in. And what we did as we sat down together as two companies was to say, how can we, here, for example, I sat with Infusionsoft, and we thought, how can we educate them about Glaser Kennedy while they are in the Infusionsoft introductory prospect stage, and vice versa? And so it was not a hard sell, but it was kind of an introduction to some of the marketing tools that Glaser Kennedy has. We were now sharing that with the Infusion customers. We were also educating the Infusionsoft support staff who was getting on the phone with the Infusionsoft customers, where they were educated if they came across a problem or somebody was sharing a particular marketing need. But the Infusionsoft staff was geared to say, hey, have you heard about Glaser Kennedy's particular product that does A, B, and C? So there was a lot of back and forth, and again, not in an affiliate way, but truly in a partnership way. And that was probably one of the most fun experiences that I had with the company, was really always giving thought of, okay, we both have the same customer, how can we serve them at a deeper level and giving thought to ways to build each other into each other's funnels, into each other's marketing funnels, and all of that. And that takes some more creative work to do, but I think that's available at different levels for any business owner, especially if you're dealing with a product or service that's very complementary and you certainly know beneficial to your customer.
Yeah, I definitely agree. So as you've got a lot of experience in this JV world, are there any big secrets that you've learned with all of your experience?
I would say, and this goes back, I started sharing this a little bit before, I think when your focus is on being of service first, everything aligns a little more cleanly. I think if the only motivation is money, things tend to break down a little quicker. So I think it's an important mindset shift. And there's a book that has been kind of my personal go-to book for probably about 5 years, and I try to read it about twice a year. It gets me into the proper frame of mind of why I'm in business, and it's a book called The Go-Giver by Bob Berg, and I would recommend everyone get it. It's a short read. It's a parable. But essentially the message of The Go-Giver is that we are in business to be a service, and if you want to make more money, then serve more people. And it's a very – and it applies to the spirit with which you go into the joint venture. So that's the other key. And, you know, at this point I've got a really kind of fine-tuned, intuitive sense when someone calls me and they want to put a deal together, and I can kind of feel like if they're really in this for, like, the long-term relationship or if they're just in it for, like, that quick, you know, kind of one-night stand sort of a deal. You can feel that vibe. And clearly much more interested in working with the person that, you know, you've developed a relationship, you know kind of where they're going. So that's just an important intuitive thing to pay attention to. I would here's another important thing that I learned with Glazer Kennedy. Glazer Kennedy is a very large list. And, for example, a particular affiliate partner or JV partner might come to us and they'd want us to mail for them. And they'd say, you know, are you going to mail to your whole list as if that's the be-all, end-all? And what I learned is that that's really not the be-all, end-all. And what I worked very hard to do during my time there was to begin segmenting that list of all of our prospects and / customers to those that were responsive and those that were, in fact, opening emails. So, for example, if we had done some sort of JV mailing or some sort of partnership-related thing and 20% of the people clicked on that email, well, those were the 20% of the people that I wanted to keep emailing for future things because they were responsive and they were open-minded. They were also the people less likely to now, you know, say we were spamming them. Our conversions were likely to be higher. And it was an interesting dilemma that I struggled with a couple of partners who, when they hear the list that I was going to mail to, they would get upset. Well, wait, you're not mailing to the whole thing. I said, I know. I'm not mailing to the whole thing, but I'm mailing to what I believe is the more responsive part of the list. And it's kind of one of those things, like, just because you mail to a lot doesn't mean a lot of people open. And in a sense, one of the things I'm very sensitive to is mailing to people for what they want to receive and being sensitive to that. So if I'm mailing to 100,000 people, of which 90,000 of it don't even care about this, likely I've irritated them. They're either, you know, I'm going to kind of get on their bad side. They're either going to opt out, report me for spam, not want to open future emails. Regardless, none of that's good. Versus
right.
If I'm just saying, okay, 10,000 of these people at least are alive, receptive, opening emails, interested, clicking, you know, doing something, much better to send to those 10,000 than, you know, feel this great desire that I should just mail to all. And I've been experimenting with that, really looking to segment my list for those that are more active and just doing that. And so I think that's another interesting secret, you know, to consider.
Okay, yeah, I definitely agree. Segmenting is critical in anything you're doing with marketing, especially with partners, as you're saying.
You know, I'll share one other thought. Sorry, I just have one other idea of a good secret, and it's subtle, but it's being able to communicate clearly with your list why you are in partnership with this other person. Because your list, you've cultivated your list through a relationship with them. They've come to trust you. They are choosing to open your emails, your communication, whatever that may be, because of trust. And so when you are now introducing them to some new opportunity, new something, they need to understand the connection of why. So as an example, this was just a subtle one I happened to have just gotten. This was a customer. I happened to be on the list of somebody who, she helps moms lose belly fat. That's her whole angle. Anyway, she has this great subject line the other day that was about brownies that melt fat. I'm like, all right, I'll bite it. What's a brownie that melts fat? Let me open that. And with that, it was a great story that was a perfectly natural complementary segue of why she had found this particular healthful woman who creates these particular products. And by the way, she has a free report that you would love that's going to share with you, you know, half a dozen, you know, healthy desserts, whatever. Of course I bought it. You know, it was an easy thing. But the key thing that she had done beautifully in her email was to explain the why behind why she was bringing this person to me as something that was interesting. And I really appreciated that segue because it didn't feel like junk mail to me. And I listened and I read the story. And the story then enticed me to want to buy.
Yep. Yeah, and the reason why we've got you on the line is because you're the expert with joint ventures. So I definitely agree. you touched on a couple of mistakes to avoid in terms of, you definitely want to give a reason why. We just touched on that.
Yeah.
You said coming at partners with more of a giving mindset rather than mm-hmm. What's in it for me.
Yeah.
Are there any other mistakes to avoid in terms of forming JVs?
I think it's important in a JV relationship to make sure, almost like you're going into a marriage, depending on how in-depth it's going to be, you know, what are you each bringing to the party? And clearly noting it, you know, what's your deliverable, what's their deliverable, what's your take, what's their take, you know, how much are you mailing, how much are they mailing, whatever it will be, anything that can be up for miscommunication should be communicated about as best you can. And of course, it takes just having a couple of mistakes to get savvier and savvier as to what that list needs to be. But as somebody who has certainly made the mistake many times, I'm now really careful when I go in, clear above board disclosure. I think that's really important. You know, you don't want to have things sneak by because, again, it's so much about reputation. You know, because if you're doing a JV with somebody and it goes well, it's likely that they'll say, hey, you know, you might really want to connect with so-and-so. And if everything has been above board and it's been professional and you've discussed issues that could come about, I mean, again, it just opens the floodgates for other possibilities of joint ventures.
Right. Okay. Now let's get into kind of the nitty-gritty details. What would be the 4 to 5 steps that a business owner would take to form a JV right now?
You know, I think it starts very simply with kind of as we were saying before, you know, what is it that you want? What is it that you have to give? You know, so first getting those kind of clarities and what does your customer really need? Then it's about, you know, making a list of who you know and who you want to know. That's actually a really key thing. We live in a world where we are 6 degrees of separation to anything that we need. So you may know that you need a connection to a particular type of person, but you don't have that connection. Yet you have a database of people, and it's really quite as simple as, you know, whether it's sending an email out to some friends and saying, I'm looking to speak with someone who has this kind of a business, do you know them, or putting it out on social networking, whatever it may be, at your local, you know, BNI networking meeting, whatever you might be doing, you know, having the clarity of what you want so that even if you don't have the connection to that person, you can put the arsenal of people that are in your center of influence to work kind of thinking on your behalf. So that's a key piece. And you, again, want to think about what are all the assets that the people that you're looking for bring to the table. You know, that's the key thing. So, like in that Bill Gates example, you know, he had the clarity that IBM needed, you know, these particular things. He knew the software company had these particular things, and he was able to make the match. So it was really being very aware of assets. And, you know, a lot of it often quite simply just comes from asking a company what they really need and getting clear on their top needs and, you know, and then now it's kind of putting the pieces together and making those connections between the company who has the assets, the company that has the needs, again, you being on either side of that equation, and or the JV broker person who might be putting it together for two other people that you know.
In your experience, what's the typical time frame to get a JV started?
You know, I guess that's a great question. I think it probably really depends on the scope and the complexity of what you're looking to do. Like in the case with Glazer Kennedy and Infusionsoft, where we were building marketing content into each other's introductory marketing funnel, that took a bit of time.
Right.
We each had to become aware of what we were doing. We had to map out the process. We had to get the content. You know, we had to figure out all of those pieces. I mean, that was more complicated and, you know, bureaucratically more challenging, all of those pieces. I think if you are kind of a solo entrepreneur who is potentially getting together with another solo entrepreneur where there's not the amount of bureaucracy involved, can certainly be much quicker. But it obviously depends on, you know, various variables, be it, you know, somebody's marketing calendar, what's going on for them, their importance, you know, how high priority it is for them to get this done. So I think, you know, if for you, the business owner, you want to get it done quickly, you need to paint a really urgent picture of how this will benefit. And I think the more you can do that, the more likely you're going to get your partner to move quickly because you've clarified to them what the benefit is and how to make that happen.
Okay. And is there any component of this that you would recommend outsourcing?
You know, I think when it comes to JVs and relationships, I think anything that is relationship-based where you are getting on the phone and you're kind of sharing your business, your why, what you care about, what you need, what you hope to get, what you hope to give, I think that's all you. I mean, that's kind of the juice that we as the entrepreneur bring into business. I think if, in fact, you need to do research about companies that provide something or you need to do any sort of, I would say research is probably something that's very simple to outsource. And you could simply say, you know, to a virtual assistant or whomever, I am looking for companies that have these kinds of products, that offer these kind of services in this particular location, if in fact you didn't have connections. So I think that's a perfect place to utilize outsourcing, but know that you want to be very, very clear and specific with what you're looking for so you can give them some real parameters so they're not just shooting in the dark all over the place. I think, you know, to the first point, and I am, as the get-it-done girl, I'm a huge believer in outsourcing. I think we as business owners need to outsource as much as we can and kind of focus on that which is kind of, you know, our genius that we love, that we're good at, that gets us paid. But I always really hold on very tightly to anything that's relationship-focused, relationship reputation-focused, where you want to make sure you've put your own finesse and personality into it and not let that go and not leave that in somebody else's hands unless you greatly trust them. You know, that's, I think that's where you want to be. You want to be a bit careful about that.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And just a follow-up question with, you know, we talk a lot about reaching out to potential partners. We haven't touched on partners reaching out to you. And more specifically, I'd love to hear your thoughts on partners that reach out to you that might not be a good fit, and you know, how do you deal with that?
That's advanced. That's like almost like the blind date that's challenging to deal with. It's like, how do you make it go away? And I've had that situation, and it is a tough one. As I got more visible in the mom space, as an example, I still get them, and, you know, many, many emails. Hey, you know, I'd love to partner with you. What can we offer to partner together? And, you know, I'll go check out their site or whatever, and I just don't feel it. Often, you know, I'd like to, you know, I'm not so big in my business that I want to be insensitive to the person that approaches me. So if I've checked out their site or they've had some, or they've clearly done their due diligence, I often like to have the conversation because you just never know. But again, if it doesn't feel aligned with where I'm going with my business, if I don't have the manpower, the time in my calendar, whatever it may be, you know, I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no to it. I will share one unbelievable story with you that is sort of related to this. And this goes back about 3 or 4 years ago now when I was in the mom entrepreneur space. And something that was going on for me at that time was that I had gotten into the space, and I feel like I got into the space at a time when the niche was not very, very crowded. And all of a sudden, I woke up one day, and there was just a million mom entrepreneur businesses. And, you know, I had one of those days of complete scarcity. Well, you know, obviously, if these people exist, my business is nothing. I might as well just close up shop. You know, I just kind of went into that place and, you know, wanted to crawl under the covers for a little bit of time until I kind of had my, you know, my little epiphany. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to show up in my business as Kim as possible. And they will all have their reason for being. And what that led me to do was to now reach out to the various mom entrepreneurs in the space from the perspective of, I'm going to do my things in my Metro Mom way. How are you doing your things? Tell me about your business, your niche. How are you doing business? What's the angle of what you're doing? And it was fascinating. What ended up coming about out of reaching out to a couple of them, and these were all social networking relationships that had begun, we all got together in Las Vegas. This is like 9 of us who had various businesses that supported the mom entrepreneur in different ways. And we started putting plans together for kind of this huge mom entrepreneur event that didn't in fact come to be, but the process that we went through of the collaboration and the belief that together we could all do something bigger than any one of us could on our own, and that we all kind of touched, we all kind of had a little different portion of the niche. We certainly had different ways that we served that niche, and we all believed that we were quite complementary. Now, interestingly, to the question that you just asked me of, you know, what happens when people approach me and I'm not interested, we had the situation where we were approaching others that we wanted to include in the group who said, nah, not for me. And we also had others who found out about it who wanted to be included that said, you know, you're not a fit. And kind of managing that process too. And, you know, the lesson I learned in this mom entrepreneur experience, and it's a good one for everybody, is your competitors can sometimes be your best JV partners. I mean, that's another really, really good secret, because you have the same niche. And, you know, so as I had a various mom entrepreneur who came to me with a particular situation or a problem that I don't solve because it's not my gift, not my thing, I could say, hey, have you talked to Mary? She's got a business that does that. And there was often this kind of back and forth opportunity. And there's a beautiful story in The Go-Giver where just that example happens. And, you know, just again, a good lesson for doing business. But I think another secret is that your best JV partners can often be those that you perceive to be your competitors, because there can be a place to align where you can kind of really find that sweet spot to help your customer.
Yeah, it's a great secret. I just noticed we did have a question from one of our listeners who asked, what's the best way to make the initial contact with potential JV partners? Would you recommend phone, email, or try to get a third party to introduce you?
Well, I think if you have a third party connection, there's no doubt that's the best. You know, I often, if there's a connection that I want to make happen, and I had to do this very often at Glaser Kennedy, there was someone that I wanted to be connected with, and I didn't have kind of that, you know, in LinkedIn language, that first-tier connection, I would look to find somebody who did to make that connection for me, because then it was that much warmer when I went in for the communication. As for when you finally do make the communication, I think you have to communicate in every way imaginable. And don't stop it just once. I mean, don't email once and think it's done if they don't respond. You know, email, call, email, call, email, call. I mean, this is something you want to make happen. People are busy. And, you know, try it on, you know, go, send them a message through Facebook, send them an email, send, you know, all the various ways. You know, I've also experimented with creative ways to get in touch with people. Send them a gift. Send them a book. Send something that they have to open FedEx. You know, it forces them to do something. I mean, there are a lot of creative ways if you really want to get in front of somebody to do it. And I think it's very important now with the amount of technological noise that we all have between, you know, our cell phones attached to us and Skype, and we're all being pinged and dinged at all times of day in every single way. And so much goes to spam, and, you know, not to underestimate the power of direct mail. And really just sending something, a handwritten note, you know, a book with a handwritten note, a small gift with a handwritten note. I mean, the power of that is just huge. and thinking of creative ways to get in front of somebody's face and, you know, grab their attention.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely recommend direct mail. I see another question here. When you were talking about partnering with competitors, do you have any recommendations in terms of when it's a good idea to partner with competitors versus when it's a bad idea?
I guess what I would say is begin approaching competitors before you need them. You know, develop the relationship before you need the JV to happen. It's almost like you never want to market. You don't want to start your marketing when you need to be marketing. Like the whole lesson of we should all be marketing at all times. You don't want to get to that point where your well is dry and, you know, all of a sudden now you're stammering and you've got that desperate energy around what you're doing. So if there are competitors that are attractive to you, begin cultivating that relationship in whatever way, because it does take time. And I think they're much more likely to be receptive to you when you approach them if there's been some warming up of the relationship. So, and to keep it simple, I mean, I'll tell you a great secret that I had done a few years ago. I was much more active on Twitter a few years ago. I just had lately fallen off of that. But what I did is I would use Hootsuite as an opportunity, and I would keep a very small group of like 5 to 10 people that I really wanted to focus on. And I would just put them into a particular group in Hootsuite, and I would monitor their tweets. And I would make sure to really kind of interact with them personally based on what had been going on with them. And that was just a way to kind of be in their space a little bit. And I think the way to make that a manageable thing is really to keep the group very small. I mean, to do that with 100 people might just overwhelm you. But to start with just a handful of people and really do your best to be on top of what's going on in their business, you know, read their Facebook pages, read what they're doing, follow up on their blogs, comment on their stuff. Like, that's where they're going to notice you more, is if you are showing an interest in what they're doing. That's the other very big secret as well, is people are much more interested in you when you are interested in them. And to do whatever it takes to demonstrate your interest before you kind of, you know, go in for the, I don't want to say the kill because that's a yucky way to describe it.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying. Go in for the, like, hey, can we make a deal? You know, like, date a little bit, you know,
right,
before you jump in for marriage.
Got it. Okay. And that was a good segue. You touched on a couple tools there. Are there any recommended resources for JVs?
I was going to say a resource on the affiliate side, specifically affiliate, is ClickBank. It's another company that I happen to have been doing a lot of JV work with because, again, there was a lot of alignment between Glazer Kennedy, who has tons of products, and ClickBank, who, for anybody who's not familiar with who ClickBank is probably the largest resource of affiliate products, both to sell and or where affiliates come when they want to promote products. So if, for example, you have a fitness site, for example, and you would love to offer a product about, you know, six-pack abs, and you don't have that, you could go to ClickBank, look for a particular product, and now you could sell that product on your site and make an affiliate commission. So that's kind of more on the affiliate side versus the JV side. I think I certainly would suggest reading The Go-Giver. I mean, I just couldn't be a bigger fan about the mentality that book gets you into the space of. And another book that I would recommend is Joe Vitale's Meet and Grow Rich, where he goes into the importance of networking and mastermind groups. And I just think that there's a huge power in learning how to network effectively. I see a lot of people who are in the collecting mindset. Just, you know, the circumstance. You go to a networking party and, you know, people just amass business cards, and then you get home, you look at your pocket, and you've got 20 cards. You're like, who was that person? I don't even know who they were. Versus
right.
Going in a more connector space and saying, I just would rather connect with 3 people well and see where that goes. I think there's a much bigger opportunity to go in, you know, and I think it's important to develop relationships in your local community as well as in your social networking online community for different purposes. And, again, the more you're getting to know other people and showing interest, and you will be amazed at the alignment and, you know, as they ask you what you do, and you start to think, wait, you need to connect with that person. This person has a business. You would be a good connection for them. You might be able to partner in some capacity. So I think a lot of it's being out there. And again, Dan Kennedy, one of his, you know, kind of most simplistic pieces of advice is to make sure you're taking action daily on something. You know, small, big, whatever it is. But, you know, if your goal is to broaden your sphere of your network, the people that support you, the people that promote for you, the people that you partner with, it's only going to come from being out there. So make the commitment to being out there in some way, big or small, daily, you know, again, online or offline.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to show up. That's one of the I forget the quote, but basically you got to show up in order to you got to be somewhere, be someone. I think Dan Kennedy references that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very easy, especially in a world now where we can do everything virtually, to sit behind your computer.
Right.
And the importance of getting out. You know, while it is great to, you know, all this interaction by email. I mean, most of the time, I just want to pick up the phone. Like, so much changes when you pick up the phone, when you meet for a cup of coffee, you know, all those things, everything just shifts when you do that. And making the commitment, the time, building it into your schedule to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, attending events. You know, so much comes about at events. I mean, I honestly, there's times I go to an event, I think, why did I even pay for the event? I just need to network in the halls.
Yeah, sometimes I find that's really the most valuable piece of events is really just the networking. I mean, a lot of the information is great, but networking, I think, trumps it.
Yeah, very much so.
Let me see here. I did see one more question. How can a typical small local offline business or professional practice use a joint venture? Say, for example, like a dentist or a chiropractor?
Well, I guess it's thinking about, you know, think about the chiropractor. So, you know, chiropractors are kind of brilliant businesses because, you know, they're wellness focused. They are kind of, you know, 360. It's all about like the totality of bringing wellness to you. So they provide kind of one tool, but maybe there's an opportunity for them to partner with, you know, the nutritional supplements person. There's an opportunity for them to partner with the masseuse. There's an opportunity for them to partner with the yoga studio. And you start to think of who is that person who's coming into my chiropractic practice, and what are some of the other things that are their ailments, that are their problems that they would benefit from that I can be a resource to them for and spread the word, the relationship amongst all the like-minded practitioners that serve the same customer and all kind of sharing each other, whether you're sharing business cards, maybe you're putting on an event together in some form, you know, a kind of a wellness event, and you're hosting it at your local community center, you know, whatever that may be locally, and you're providing information to that person who clearly comes to the chiropractor because they're looking for overall wellness, and you've now brought all the resources to them. You know, maybe one of the benefits of chiropractic work is that you'd be drinking, you know, better quality water, you know, so there's a purified water person. You know, you start to think, and, you know, this comes through brainstorming and having discussions and actually even asking your clients, you know, or your patients, what is it that you would benefit from? You're coming to me. What other information would you like to know about? I know, for example, I have been seeing a chiropractor, and through her, I am now being connected to the naturopath. And, you know, and you think, God, if they were to get together with the interesting masseuse and the interesting supplements person, and they were to put on, you know, a Sunday afternoon event that spoke about something, I would go. You know, because it's all speaking to kind of where I am, and, you know, whether they're selling something, offering something, doing something at that point, you know, they've at least got a good target market, and they've now provided me, the customer, with that much more value. So I think that's a lot of the way, you know, a professional practice could definitely utilize joint ventures.
Yeah, and to elaborate on that point, we actually worked with a chiropractor who teamed up with a golf instructor. We had a lot of golf clients, obviously, and they are notorious for having back problems, and
it was
just a great fit. They put on a program specifically for golfers, and that was just opened up a whole another segment for his business. He now is in that the golfing industry.
You know, but with that being said, so here's the chiropractor now pairing with the golf professional. I'm sure that chiropractor could now apply it to the tennis person. You could start to think like, okay, who else could I align with who likely has a client who's getting injured who would benefit?
Right.
You know, so the just thinking of the golf thing is great, but it now even opens you to think like, who else?
Yeah, you just go every season, get the skiers in the winter and.
Exactly. Yeah, the runners.
Okay, well, we covered a ton here. Was there anything I missed that you wish I had asked?
Let me think. What you No, I think you were really thorough. You asked me a lot of great questions.
Yeah, we definitely covered a lot here. Okay, great. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to be on the call today.
Absolutely my pleasure. Thank you for having me. And I hope, you know, if other questions come up, you know, on the Facebook page, I can happily pop on and, share some information if that would be helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. And if anyone on the call wants to reach you, maybe you could just give your contact information and maybe any resources you want to share.
Well, thank you. You know what? I want to share. I will share with everybody my newest venture. Which is really teaching every business owner how to connect more effectively with the prospects and customers that they have so that they can kind of deepen that relationship with them with the ultimate goal of generating more bottom-line profitability. And I just created a free report. You can grab it at the website. It's called PCO. That stands for Prospect Customer Optimization. So PCO Grow, GROW.com. And pop onto that page, and you can grab a really informational free report that will, again, give you some very helpful information so that you can interact more effectively with your prospects and your customers.
Okay, great. Yeah, I really appreciate that.
Sure. Thank you.
And, any last thoughts in terms of how people could contact you, or is that the best place to go, the PCO Grow?
Well, they can PCO Grow, they can go to get the report. If they want to reach out to me directly, I would say connect with me through Facebook at Kim
okay.
DeYoung. Just that's probably the best way.
Okay, great. Well, again, really appreciate you taking the time, and hope this was valuable for all the listeners.
Yeah, thank you very much.